Good morning. Today's daf is daf Gimel, and really guilty of false advertising because we're back on daf Yudbeis, and we're doing daf Yudbeis. So obviously I'd like to get back to where the rest of the world is holding and keep pace. We started the Mishnah yesterday on Yud Aleph on Yudbeis, and the Mishnah brought an interesting machlokas about Shechtan Karm Pesach on the morning of the 14th. We know there's a mitzvah annually to Shechtan Karm Pesach on the afternoon of the 14th, and that is what's called obviously the Karm Pesach. It's I would say it's a very significant mitzvah. We usually don't distinguish between mitzvahs, but it's a very significant mitzvah. Number one, it represents our national freedom, our national liberty, and it obviously is what we did in order to get out of Mitzrayim. But number two, just from a halachic standpoint, I know it's significant because failure to bring the Karm Pesach results in an Issur Kares. Right? It's one of two mitzvos min HaTorah, positive commandments, where a failure to do so results in an Issur Kares. The Mila is one and Karm Pesach is two. The Torah says very clearly the Karm Pesach has to be shecht in the afternoon of the 14th, not the morning of the 14th. Now, we're not learning Pesachim, we're learning Zvachim, and in Zvachim we're focusing only on the Kachim aspect of this Karban, not the Pesach aspect of the Karban. And we're talking about the mitzvah of, we're talking about the Chiyuv of Lishma, that when you shecht a Karban, you have to shecht it Lishma. There's an obligation that you have to do it for its right intent. Failure to do so usually results in a, not a disqualification of the animal, but simply it no longer serves its owner, a separation between the animal and the owner. Right? Lo alu lo labalim. However, by the Karban Pesach, if the Karban Pesach is shecht shelo lishmo, so then it disqualifies the Karban. It's no longer a good Karban Pesach. Okay? But, and this is important, it's only Pesach bizmano. The only time that a machshava shelo lishmo, that a lack of intent will disqualify the Karm Pesach, is only when you shecht it during its right time. Now the right time is the afternoon of the 14th. So what we saw in our Mishnah is an interesting machlokas between Rabbi Yeshua and Ben Becerra. Ben Becerra says, what if you shecht it on the morning of the 14th? Let's start with Rabbi Yeshua, because he's easier, right? Rabbi Yeshua says, what if you shecht it on the morning of the 14th? Shelo lishmo. And you don't have intent. So Rabbi Yoshua says it's fine, it's kosher, because the morning of the 14th is not the appropriate time. It's shelo bizmano, and therefore Rabbi Yoshua says you didn't disqualify the Karban Pesach, because disqualification with the machshava shelo lishmo is only during its time, during its zman. Morning is not the zman. In fact, Rabbi Yoshua says it very clearly. Shechting on the morning of the 14th is just like shechting it on the 13th. It's just simply not the right time. Period. That is the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua. Then there's the interesting opinion of Ben Becerra. And Ben Becerra says, no, if you shecht on the morning of the 14th, shelo lishmo, you disqualify the Karban. Period. It is a disqualification of the Karban. Now, we are in the middle of our first pshat of Ben Becerra. Pshat number one, which we started yesterday, which we'll start again today. We'll start with the Gemara today. Pshat number one in Ben Becerra is, you know why? Because the morning is the right time. The morning of the 14th is the right time. It's Zman. And so the Gemara says, let's start again. Amar Rebbe Lazar, Amar Rabbi Yoshua. We're starting with the Gemara on Daf Yad Alef Amid Beis. Machshah Yah Ben Becerra Pesach Sheshach Tu Shachris Bar Basar Lishmo Dekula Yom Zmanehu. It is the right time to shecht in the morning. Now the Gemara first takes care of a technical issue. The language of Ben Becerra in the Mishnah doesn't seem to suggest that. My ki ilu. So why is he saying it's as if? What do you mean it's as if you as if shechting in the morning is fine? You don't have to say the word ki ilu. So I did Amar Rabbi Yeshua ki ilu Amar Iunami ki ilu. The word ki ilu is just for purposes of symmetry. Rabbi Yeshua said ki ilu because remember Rabbi Yeshua said it's like shechting on the 13th. So he uses the same language also, but lav dafka. It's mine. So the Gemara says, okay, really then there should be a bigger machlokus in the Mishnah, which is, what if I shecht Karm Pesach lishmo on the morning of the 14th? According to Ben Becerra, it's fine. How come the Mishnah doesn't make that argument, which is such a stronger, it's such a more stark way to phrase Ben Becerra, that if you shecht the Karm Pesach in the morning, that's good. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Because if the Mishnah only would have talked about Lishmo and not Shelo Lishmo, I would have thought that there would have been a concession on the part of Rabbi Yeshua to Ben Becerra. Because look, it's the day of the 14th. So even though Rabbi Yeshua may disagree that the morning is not the right time, but maybe he would still disqualify the animal. So that's why the Mishnah has to talk in the context of Shelo Lishmo, because otherwise we wouldn't know what Rabbi Yeshua's position is. Okay, now we get on to some very basic questions in terms of our first understanding of Ben Becerra. Mourning is fine. Mourning of the 14th is fine. How can you say that? The Torah says the afternoon. The Haksiv Ben Arba'im. Yeah. It says the afternoon. So Amar Ula Bered Rav Eli Ben Shnei Aravim. So the Gemara first gives an interesting answer. The words Ben Ha'arbayim means between the afternoons. We normally assume, because as you're going to see throughout Chumash, whenever you see this term Ben Ha'arbayim, we normally assume it means the afternoon. That's what it normally means. And here the Gemara says Ben Ha'arbayim, in our first understanding of Ben Becerra, could mean between yesterday afternoon and today afternoon. Meaning that you have really a 24-hour window of opportunity to shach the Karban Pesach. Now, even in this understanding of the Pasuk, let's just be clear. You can't do it at night. Right? No avoda, you can't shach the Karban Pesach at night. Meaning right after Bidikas Chametz, let's go to the Beis HaMikdash, let's shach the Karban Pesach. Like, that's not... That even in this entertainment, even in this suggestion, we are not suggesting that you're shechting Karban Pesach at night. No carbon is shechted at night, right? First rule in Kachim, big rule in Kachim. Kachim is only, Avodah is only done during the daytime, not at night. Yeah, there's burning of fats and limbs at night, but no Avodah is done at night. So even in this idea of Bein Arba'im means from yesterday afternoon to today afternoon, it doesn't mean that your shech, the Gemara is suggesting your shech come Pesach at night. It just simply means, in theory, it started last night, but you can't do it overnight. But once you get to the morning, and now you have daytime, good, you can shech your come Pesach.
If you're saying that you cannot do anything at night, right?
I am saying
so
that.
So by definition, it's got to be during the day. So why say Ben Harabim anyway?
Okay.
If it's
right? Good. I don't have an answer. Right? I'm with you. So, Dechsib Ben Harabim.
Well, not but it already is.
It's misleading.
Does it say yom? You're saying
yeah.
You're saying you cannot do it at night. Okay, so it's got to be during the day. So why add Ben Harbaim to it unless Ben Harbaim means something else?
Okay,
because it means between the two darkness.
No, because the chachilah,
which is by negative inference.
Yeah, but it's the previous day.
He means it could be done the whole day. What bothers Ben? I'm with him.
But is it the chachilah according to him in the afternoon?
No. It doesn't seem that way. In this presentation, doesn't seem that way. Okay? Bein Arba'im Hachana Medikula Yomakasha. Hasa Medichsev. So the Gemara says, sorry. Hachana Medikula Yomakasha. Hasa Medichsev. No, what I just skipped. Sorry. Amaula Bered Rav Ila Ben Shnei Arba'im. Aravim. Period. Now, are we gonna say this all the time? Every single time the Torah says Bein Arba'im, it means from yesterday to today. And I will show you, the Gemara is going to show us, that it's never true. Never. The word Bein Arba'im always means afternoon. Let's go. Tamid Dichsiv Bein Arba'im Hachanam Dikula Yom Akasher. The carbon Tamid. The afternoon one. It says the words Bein Arba'im. You want to tell me that Bein Arba'im over there means all day? Can't be. Hasam Dichsiv Esa Kevesech HaTaseba Boker Michlal De Bein Arba'im Bein Arba'im Mamish. Well, there we have process of elimination. Meaning we know we have a morning one. So what are you going to do now? You're going to offer the next one any point in time? So the Gemara says, Eima chadba boki idach kula yoma. So the Gemara says, well, maybe the Torah meant like this. The one in the morning is a warning, right? Tam shel shachar. And the other one, anytime you want. Meaning, yeah, maybe that also could be brought in the morning. The Gemara says, no, echad baboker velo shnayim baboker. It does say, the Torah does say, echad baboker. So in other words, there in Tamid world, we have process of elimination. Meaning, Bein Arba'im could mean all day, but because we know that it's the Tam Shel Shachar, and it says echad baboker, so that means that Bein Arba'im has to be afternoon. Next, Neiros. Neiros, Tichsi, Bein Arabayim. When do I light the Neiros? I light them in the evening. Lighting of the Neiros is the only avoda, right? I just said no avoda is done at night. It's the only avoda that occurs over the course of the evening. Meaning we light the menorah at night, in the evening, at dusk, and the menorah is lit the entire evening. Okay? So there the Torah says, Bein Ha'arbayim. Now, by the menorah. You want to tell me that you light the menorah anytime during the day? Now, just interesting note. Every time we talk about the mitzvah of lighting the menorah, it's a fascinating machlokas rishonim, which the Rambam takes a position which is inexplicable. No, that's not true. He explains it. but no other rishon agrees with the Rambam. Rambam's of the opinion that they lit the menorah at night and in the morning. And the menorah was lit 24 hours. There was one lighting at night and one lighting in the morning. Okay? From every Gemara, you never get that indication, as I'm about to show you. Right? All the other Rishonim disagree with the Rambam. Right? There is a defense for the Rambam from all these Gemaras, but just know. Right? One of the big machlokas Rishonim when it comes to the mitzvah of Hadlakas Menorah. Now, we're not talking Hanukkah. We're talking about in the Beis HaMikdash. One of the big machlokasim that exist is whether or not the menorah is lit in the morning. Rambam says yes. All the other Rishonim... I'll tell you what. I'll explain it to you another time. Right? It's interesting. It's an interesting position. No, I don't think he has any support from any other Rishonim. I don't think. Okay? So, Dichsiv Bein Arbaim Hachinami Dekuli Yom Kasher. So, again, let's go with our Gemara and let's go with the simple pshat that the menorah is lit only at night. You want to tell me that Bein Harbayim means anytime during the day? So the Gemara says, no, the Kuli Yama Kasher, Shani Hasim Dichsiv Me'er Vad Boker. The Gemara says, no, because by the menorah, the Torah says Me'er Vad Boker. Meaning the Torah tells us very clearly the whole point of lighting the menorah is so that it's lit over the course of the evening. So obviously Bein Harbayim means in the evening, in the late evening, in the late afternoon, I should say. V'tanya, we learned in a brisa Me'er Vad Boker, Tein La Midas Hashet Eidol Lekas V'Olechas Me'er Vad Boker. And we also know that you have to put enough oil in the menorah so that it actually lasts the duration of the evening. And Rashi says you have to figure also the long winter nights, right, which obviously has more hours than the short summer nights, and you have to put in enough oil so that it lasts the whole evening. There's no other avoda that's kosher from evening until morning except for this one as well. Good. So the menorah, bein harbayim by the menorah means late afternoon as well. Next, ketores. Dichsiv bei bein harbayim. We know we have a mitzvah to burn ketores daily in the Beis HaMikdash. Once, right, maneh. One in the morning and one in the afternoon. Chatsi maneh baboker. Uchatsi maneh bein harbayim. And what do you want to tell me? Hachanami dekuli yom akashi. You want to say the same thing also there? That bein harbayim means any part of the day? Shani ketores. The itkish leneros. Hekish. Hekish between menorah and ner. And so therefore, just like ner has to mean the afternoon, menorah has to mean the afternoon as well. Hasamnami ksiv. We're on the top of Yud Beis Amin Aleph. Ksiv sham tizbach es a pesach ba'erev.
Well, you just said that the menorah is at night.
Late afternoon, meaning lit late afternoon, going through the evening.
So then we're
bein arbaim. Bein arbaim, right, afternoon. Okay, now, so good. So it's amazing. In other words, in our first approach, which I'm just letting you know because we're friends, the Gemara is not going to accept this first approach, but in the first approach of Ben Becerra, what we're saying is that the whole day of the 14th is kosher to bring the Karban Pesach. The Torah says, Bein Harbayim. In the world of Karban Pesach, we are now entertaining the idea. It means from yesterday evening until this evening. That's Bein Harbayim. It's not a crazy pshat. It does. That's what the words mean, between the evenings, and it does use in the plural. So it's not a crazy pshat. And the Gemara now is saying, and even though it's true, every other Bein Arbaim and Chumash, the Tamid, the Menorah, the Ketores, even though they all the other ones mean afternoon, but this one means Karban Pesach means all day. Okay, the Gemara is still, even in this first position, not fully satisfied. It says we're on the top line of Yud Beis Amar Alf. Hasam Nami Ksiv Sham Tizbach Es HaPesach Ba'arev. It says you do it in the evening. This is Parshas Re'eh. So the Gemara says Hahu Le'ichor Davar Hu Da'asa. Yeah, no. What the pasuk there is trying to indicate is that you bring the Karban Pesach after the Tamid Shel Bein Harabayim, and this is an anomaly, okay? In the world of Karbanos, you have bookends. You have the Tamid Shel Shachar, the morning Tamid, and the Tamid Shel Bein Harabayim, and they are the bookends. And all the other Karbanos that you bring over the course of the day, obligatory or voluntary, doesn't matter, comes between the Tamid Shel Shachar and the Tamid Shel Bein Harabayim, correct? Fine. The Karban Pesach is an anomaly in which the Karban Pesach comes after the Bein Harabayim. In fact, when we get to Pesachim in a short couple of years from now, why not? We're going to see that they actually pushed up the Tamid Shel Bein Harabayim to the earlier point of the afternoon so that everyone will have the time, you know, those millions of people, Hedy, will have time to bring the Karban Pesach between the Bein Harabayim and an actual sunset. Good. Where do we learn this from? So the Gemara says we learned it from the pasuk Erev. Hahu li'ichur davar hu da'asa. D'tanya yu'uchar davar shenemar bo be'erev u'bein harabayim l'davar shenemar bo ela bein harabayim belvad. And why? Why does the Karban Pesach come after the Tamid Shel Bein Harabayim? Because the Tamid Shel Bein Harabayim, the Torah only calls it Bein Harabayim. The Karban Pesach, the Torah calls it two things. Bein Harabayim and Erev. So the Gemara says that's why it goes later, because it's given that double terminology. Now the Gemara says, we're wrapping up our first approach in Ben Becerra. I'm thoroughly confused. Meaning, here's what we have according to Ben Becerra. Karban Pesach can be brought the whole day, morning, afternoon, right? But if and when you bring in the afternoon, it's got to come after the Tamid Shel Bein Harabayim. Right? Look, if you decide you want to get there early, right? You want to beat the crowds. So you get there in the morning and you shecht in the morning, shkoyach. Right? Great job. And then v'chimate ben arbaim, but once you get to the afternoon, amart yuchar davar, now you say, oh wait, afternoon? Oh, you gotta wait till after the Tamid Shel Bein Harabayim, not yet. Does that make sense? And the Gemara says, yeah. Yeah, there is a precedent for that. In the Hamar Rabbi Yochanan. Huh?
You're saying you can offer
before and after. But there's an early afternoon, which is just, no. The Hamar Rabbi Yochanan, halacha mispal shal mincha v'achakach mispal shal musafim. Sure. You know, there's a tefillah called tefillahs musaf. Right? We're familiar. On Shabbos, on Yontif, right? Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. Right? There's the tefillahs musaf, obviously corresponding to the carbon musaf that's brought. Now, when do you say the tefillahs musaf? Any time of the day. Right? All day is fine to daven musaf. What if it's now the afternoon? And now the choice is between mincha and musaf. So you had the whole day to daven musaf. You could have daven musaf in the morning. But now that you have the choice between mincha and musaf, mincha comes first. We all know why. Because of the rule of Tadir Vashenu, Tadir Kodem. Okay. But at least it's... At least it's... Now you see, it's precedented. Where you have something that could be done in the morning, but once you get to the afternoon, you say, whoa, hold it. Mincha first, then Musaf. So it's the same thing over here. Karban Pesach. In our first approach of Ben Becerra, fine. Bring the Karban Pesach in the morning, and once you get to the afternoon, wait, Tamid Shel Bein Harabayim, then Karban Pesach. Uvein. Okay. Fine. Okay? So that is now the end of the first approach in Ben Becerra, as I've been saying now a number of times. It is mechudash. It's such a chiddush to suggest that the morning is an acceptable time to bring the Karban Pesach based on our novel interpretation of Bein Harabayim. So the Gemara will now categorically reject this first approach. It's an ola. It's carbon ola.
So that doesn't take precedence.
Just because it's an ola does not mean it's because it's time. The Torah gives specific times when to bring it. Uvein ha'arbayim dechsiv gabe haktara v'neros lamalif. Question number one, says the Gemara. Okay, why would the Torah have to say the words Bein Harabayim by Neiros and by Ketores? Meaning that it's misleading. Meaning the whole term Bein Harabayim in our first approach means all day. From the afternoon to the afternoon. So why use such terminology by Menorah and by Ketores if that's not what the real intent is? V'od. That's question number one. And question number two says, Heshav Rebbe Tachas Ben Beseil Adiver Rebbe Yoshua. Look, Rebbe gets in on the act. Now, Rebbe, did he actually know Ben Becerra? Unlikely. Right? In other words, Rebbe lived after the Chorban HaBayis, and not just after, but well after. Right? Probably a full century after the destruction of the temple. Right? Ben Becerra lived during the Bayis, during the end of the Second Temple. So did Rebbe know Ben Becerra? No, but doesn't matter. In other words, he's advancing an argument to support Ben Becerra. Now remember, Ben Becerra said that if you shech the Korban Pesach in the morning, shelo lishma, you've disqualified the animal. Why? So in our radical pshat, which we're about to reject now, we're saying, well, because it's a zman. Listen to Rebbe's argument. Lo. This is Rebbe now in defense of Ben Becerra. Im amar bishlosha sar shem iksaso ra'i, tamar barbar sar shem iksaso ra'i. You can't compare the 13th day and the 14th day of Nisan. 14th day of Nisan, summer that day is fit to bring the Korban Pesach. Okay, that's Rebbe's argument against Rebbe Yehoshua. Because remember, Rebbe Yehoshua said, shechting on the morning of the 14th, that's like shechting on the 13th. And Rebbe said, what are you comparing? The 13th and the 14th? Mitzas Hayom, some of the day of the 14th, is fit to bring the Korban Pesach. So right away you hear it from Rebbe, some of the day, but not all the day, right? Im Isa Kulo Ra'ihu. If our understanding of Ben Becerra is right, Rebbe shouldn't be saying Mixas, he should be saying Kulo. Okay, so basically, okay, it was a nice attempt, it was an interesting attempt, but the Gemara says that's not the pshat behind Ben Becerra. So what is the pshat behind Ben Becerra?
I didn't get Rebbe's point.
Rebbe's point is that the day of the
theology of the 13th.
Wait, you didn't get Rebbe's point or the Gemara's point about Rebbe?
Rebbe's
defending Ben Becerra.
And he didn't like the attack on Ben Becerra that the 14th in the morning is like the 13th. So how can you say the 13th is zero?
Right.
The 14th is partial.
Right, you're right. Partial.
But just a phrase, like saying...
Okay, but he could have said it stronger, though. In other words, if Rebbe believed that the Pshat and Ben Becerra is like what we're saying, he didn't have to go to Mixas. He could have gone to Kulo. He should have gone to Kulo. That is the Gemara's.
So what Rebbe is saying is that since it's halfway, it should be like it's all the way. And then the Gemara is saying,
No. Since it's halfway, it's just a different day. The 14th is just a different day than the 13th. You can't tell me that the day of the 14th is like the day of the 13th. Right? Rabbi Tishwal said it well. Day of the 13th is a zero. Day of the 14th, half that day is fit to bring the Korban Pesach. So you can't just simply look at the morning of the 14th and say, it's not like the 13th. The day itself, meaning I look at the day as a totality. Granted, half the day I can't and half the day I can. But still, it's a different day. The day is different. Okay. And based on this, the Gemara is just using this language of Rebbe to show our understanding is not correct. Meaning, Ben Becerra is not saying the whole day is kosher. It's just that it's a different day, but still, morning is not the right time. Elamar of Yochanan. Okay, so we're now gonna convert our thinking. And the Gemara's thinking now is going to be like this. It's going to be more conventional. Still a chiddush, but more conventional. Morning is not the right time to bring the Korban Pesach. Good. And still, according to Ben Becerra, if I shech the Korban Pesach in the morning, shelo lishmo, it's a disqualification. How does that work? So the Gemara says it like this. El Amar of Yochanan, Post Aliyah Ben Becerra, Pesach Sheshachtu Barbasar Shachris, Bein Lishmo, Bein Shelo Lishmo, Holo Miksas Roy. Okay, because the morning, it has shades of Zman. It's like, how to say this better? It's a Korban Pesach day. You're right. Morning is not the right time to bring it. In fact, not only is it not the right time, you can't bring it in the morning. But still, it's the day of Korban Pesach. It's the 14th day of Nisan. We're not saying Tachanun in the morning. Right? Obviously, that doesn't really speak to anything. But still, it's the day of Korban Pesach. And so, therefore, if I shecht it in the morning, Shalal Lishmo, it's disqualified. even though I can't bring it yet. So the Gemara says, okay, and now we're going to get on to a very interesting discussion in the Gemara, a discussion about what's called dichui. Okay, quick introduction. Dichui, the idea of dichui is that something is not fit to the Beis HaMikdash, and then things change, and now it becomes fit. So if for a period in time, it's not fit, do I say that it's totally pushed off forever, disqualified, even though things change and it's now okay? Or no? Or no? We could say it could come back, and it can be reignited. Now, in the world of dichui, there are many permutations of levels of dichui, levels of being pushed off. For example, right, there's something called dichui meikara. This is just an introduction. I'll make it brief, but hopefully it'll be clear. Dichui meikara means it was never fit, right? Something about it made it disqualified, and then it becomes qualified, right? That's actually a lighter form, because never being fit means it never was in the discussion. And now it becomes fit, oh good. Then there's something called nira v'nidche v'nira, where it was fit, then some disqualification takes place, and then it comes back again. That's actually worse, right? Because at one point in time, it was eligible, and then disqualified, and now eligible again. That's worse. That's a worse category of dichui. Okay? So there are grades, there are levels in dichui. What the Gemara is now going to argue, and by the way, one other word of introduction. In this discussion of dichui, animals which are alive, is there really conversation to be had about them being disqualified? Meaning, I set it aside as a karban, but it's still a live animal. I mean, I didn't shecht it yet, so maybe there's no... I understand it gets a blemish, which means it would be disqualified. But maybe there's no conversation to be had even by a live animal. Meaning, it's more a discussion of dichui after I shecht the animal and some disqualification takes place. Okay? As we're going to see... In other words, it's not... It's ready to be offered as a carbon, but it's, you know, we haven't done the avoda yet. So as we're going to see, this is all Rav Yochanan talking. The whole page of the Gemara is all Rav Yochanan, and Rav Yochanan wholeheartedly subscribes to dichui by Balei Chaim. Even though the animal's alive and well, there's still a concept of dichui even by live animals. Not everyone agrees to Rav Yochanan on that, but on this issue, though, we are, this whole page of Gemara is Rav Yochanan, dichui by animals, okay, by live animals. Dichui literally means to be pushed off. Doche, to push off, to be disqualified. Okay, so the Gemara now, listen to this, because it's interesting, it's a little tricky. What the Gemara now is going to propose is the following. Look, let's now go with our accepted Pshat and Ben Becerra. The morning of the 14th is a day in which, is a morning in which I can't bring the Karban Pesach yet. It's not yet fit. On the other hand, it's the 14th. So, when I shech the Karban Pesach on the 13th, remember what happens? It turns into a shlamin. So in other words, the Karban Pesach on the 13th is a karban. I understand it's not the Karban Pesach, but it's a karban. On the afternoon of the 14th, it's a Karban Pesach. The morning of the 14th, it's in limbo. Can't be shecht as a Karban Pesach, but also can't be shecht as a shlamin. So what the Gemara now is about to ask is, wait a second, that morning of the 14th, that animal has no status. It has zero status. Therefore, disqualified.
Permanently.
Oh. So if you subscribe to dichui, that once pushed off, always pushed off, so the Gemara now is fascinated. According to Ben Becerra, you've just lost every Karban Pesach because of this idea of dichui. Now let's think this through. Wait a second. Okay. In the world of Rav Yehoshua, much less problematic. Not in other words, not even a problem at all. Because according to Rav Yehoshua, Yesterday could have been Bar Zeshlamim. Even the morning of the 14th. Remember, the terminology of Rav Yehoshua is morning of the 14th. It's just like the 13th. So in other words, according to Rav Yehoshua, there's never a point of limbo of the animal. And then when the sun goes from the eastern sky to the western sky, good. So now you went from an animal which was fit for a shlamin to an animal which is now fit for Karban Pesach. There was never a point of dichui according to Rav Yehoshua. But meanwhile, according to Ben Becerra, the Gemara is now arguing, it seems that that morning of the 14th presents a halachic problem of dichui. Okay? I wouldn't say the same way Rabbi Tershwal said it, but yes. it is difficult to grasp as a concept, for sure. But this is exactly where the Gemara is going in the... Right. Okay, I understand. I totally understand your point, but I'm just... I got to present the Gemara. That's my job. May God, sometimes I do better than others. But Megade be Rabbi Abba. Im Kain, Rabbi Abba was offended. He was, Megade. The word Lashon of Giduf means he was cursing. not swearing, but just it really bothered him. Im Kain Pesach Kashla Ben Becerra Hechem Mishkachala. You don't have a Kasher Karm Pesach ever, according to Ben Becerra. Because Ida Afrishay Ha'ina Dichu Mikaru. Because look, if I set it aside today, meaning the morning of the 14th, that's Dichu Mikaru. That's no good. Meaning, because it's not fit. The Ida Afrishinu Me'etmol. And what if I set it aside on the 13th? Which, on the 13th, it is fit as a karban, so Nira V'nidchahu. That's even worse, because then it was fit on the 13th, and you go to the morning of the 14th, and it's nearer the nidcha. That's even a higher degree of dichui, right? To be eligible and to be rejected. So to this problem, the Gemara is going to give multiple solutions, and some of them will sit better with you, Rabbi Tershwal, based on what bothered you from the very beginning, which I totally understand. So the first solution of the Gemara is not an exciting one, which is, okay, so maybe according to Ben Becerra, the only time that you're actually matish the animal is on the afternoon of the 14th. Good. Okay? That's one solution to this problem of dichui. Abaya amar afilo tema mitzafra ein mechusar zman lebo bayom. Right? No. You set it aside in the morning of the 14th. What bothered you? The problem of dichui? There's no such thing as mechusar zman for that day. Meaning that, you're right, in the morning, I can't bring it, it's premature. You're right. But that doesn't present a problem of mechusar zman. Meaning the fact of the matter is that later today I am going to bring it. You can't look at a day and dissect the day and say, well, I can't bring it in the morning, it's pushed off. No. It's because later today I will bring it, right? You can't look at one part of the day and say, oh, that's mechusar zman for the second half of the day. It doesn't work that way. That's not a quality of mechusar zman. Rav Papa amar filo tema meorta. And Rav Papa scales back even further. He says, look, wouldn't even bother me if we set it up, if we designated the night prior. Because Laila ain mechusar zman. What are you going to tell me? I can't bring it at night? So what? Even the night prior is not mechusar zman. How do I know this? Is ni Rabbi Yishmael, the Gemara says, because we learn from the Academy of Rabbi Yishmael, la shmini nichnas the deer lehit asir. I have an animal that was just born. And now we know that an animal that is a newborn cannot be offered as a carbon until its eighth day. Every animal cannot be born until the eighth day. Let's say I have a total newborn animal, and I'm now counting my animals for miser, and I'm doing it at night. Right? You could do it anytime you want, but it has to be at time when the animal's fit. What if it's the eve of this baby, of this newborn's eighth day? Right? The animal can walk then, by the way. Animal walks pretty much the moment it's born. Not like us humans. takes a while for our legs to get going. So now, here, so what the chiddush is that I can, the night prior to the eighth, I can start counting. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and I can count my newborn animal. Tomorrow it's going to be his eighth day. I can count it at night. Night is not considered mechusas zman. Uche the Rebbe Aptoriki, the Rebbe Aptoriki Rami Ksiva. One pasuk says Vayashivas Yamin Tachas Imam. 7 days every animal is going to be with its mother. Halayla Chazi, which means that once you get to the night of the eighth day, you're good. The other pasuk says Umiyamash Mina Bahala Ye Ratzah. From the eighth day and onward, it's all, that's when they have Ritzui Halayla Lo Chazi. That seems to indicate you need the eighth day. Night prayer is no good. Haketzah. So the Gemara says it's very simple. Layla Lekdusha V'Yom LaHartzah. You could be maktish it at night, and the next day you bring it. So the Gemara says, okay, we'll take the same structure, the same concept, and bring it to our Karban Pesach. You're right, I can't bring it in the morning. I understand that. But in other words, just like the animal, which is going to turn 8 days old tomorrow, can be counted at night, can be set aside at night, so to the Karban Pesach as well. Okay.
People had to walk far to Yerushalayim, so they would have had to designate the animals well before.
They would bring an animal and not designate it. That's all.
Just
Amalei Rabbi Zerul Rabbi Abba Leimakasav Rabbi Yochanan Balei Chaim Nidchin. Right, we're talking about live animals. This whole discussion is talking about live animals. Amalei in. So the Gemara says, yeah, that's correct. Right, I told you about this Gemara coming up. That's correct. According to Rabbi Yochanan, live animals are pushed off. The Amar of Yochanan, and the Gemara says, and I'll tell you how I know that. Look at the following scenario: that even live animals can be pushed off. Let's say you have an animal that's owned jointly by two people. So you have two people who have a partnership over an animal. Hikdish katsiyaham. Okay, one of the owners who only has a 50% share in the animal was makdish his 50%. Now, you can't be makdish half an animal as a karban. It doesn't work that way. So when he was makdish as 50%, you know what that is? Damin. That's value. He was only makdish the value of the animal, but not the animal itself. And then what he do is he went to his partner and said, look, I was makdish my half. You know what? I have problems sleeping at night. I can't stand that half the animal's makdish and the other half, you still retain ownership, which you have every right to do. I'll tell you what. Let me buy you out your shares, right? And then what I'll do is then I'll be makdish the second half. Good. And he does that. What's the result? Kedusha v'ena kreva. It has sanctity, the whole animal, of course it does, but it's not offered as a karban. Even though the net result is that it was makdish 100% of the animal. But he did it in two stages. He did it 50 and then 50. V'oset t'mura. It can result in a t'mur. You can exchange an animal for it. Remember, whenever we talk about exchange in the world of karban, this karban doesn't lose its kedusha. It just simply means that the next karban, which you try to transfer, will absorb the same level of kedusha. Usmur so kayotzeba, ushma min atlas. Three takeaways from this halacha. Number one, shma min balei chaim nidchin. First of all, it's the point that we're trying to make. That Balei Chaim Nidchin, this is again, Rav Yochanan made the statement. So this is all Rav Yochanan. It's a live animal. It was pushed off. When was it pushed off? When the first 50% was muktash, was sanctified. So now, you have an animal that can't be brought as a karban, because only half of it is kadosh. So it's Nidchin, it's pushed off. Done. Even though, when the day's over, 100% of it will be sanctified, but still, kevin shenitche nitche. Shema min adichui meikara havadichui. Another point to consider. Stichui meikara. From the very inception, it was nitche, and still it's push off. I told you, this is a bigger chiddush. Nira v'nitche v'nira. That's, you know, it was qualified, disqualified, and qualified. So that's, you know. Here it never was qualified as a karban, and still, stichui meikara. Shma mina, just one more second. Shma mina, yesh dichui b'damim. And also, look, it's also fascinating that when the first partner was makdish his 50%, as I explained, that's just value. Meaning the animal itself is not intrinsically holy. It's just now the value of 50% of the animal's value is kadosh. And still, that we're still using terminology of dichui. Yesh dichui v'damim. There's dichui by damim as well. Okay, good. Okay, from this point forward until the next.
Doesn't mean yesh dichui v'damim because it did work.
No, in other words, you can't bring it.
I'm saying it was kadosh, you just can't become a karban.
Right, but you could have made the argument that look, I never sanctified the animal as a karban. It's just the value of the animal.
So, Yeshtichoy means it doesn't.
Yeshtichoy means it's disqualified. It's disqualified. And even, right, even though I only set it up for its value, but still, value is subject to being disqualified.
And what happens to if you do the tamura, what happens to the original one?
So, same thing. In other words, no, nothing. The tamura, the original one still maintains whatever it was.
I'm saying, what do you do with it?
In this particular case, you're going to have to let it develop a, I guess, develop a blemish, and then be poda. I'm guessing. I'm not sure about that. Okay. From this point until the next Mishnah, on the top of Yud Gimel, we're going to talk about dichui and give other scenarios, other examples of dichui. Okay. So daf Yud Beis is our dichui daf.
Dichui basically, another so far they're saying that dichui only applies to the monetary value, but not to the physical.
No. Even the monetary value. That's the chiddush. Meaning, of course, if I set aside an animal as a carbon, and then it develops a blemish, that's dichui. Meaning, it was fit, and now here we're saying even a bigger chiddush. Even though I only set up its value, but and the value of it is holy, not the animal intrinsically. Still, we're having a conversation of dichui.
Are we saying that dichui is permanent or could be transient?
Nope. Dichui means once disqualified, always disqualified. That's the whole concept of dichui.
Which you don't subscribe to.
No, what do you mean? Why do you say that? All right, well, no, we do subscribe to dichui. Right now we are absolutely subscribing to dichui, and this is all Rav Yochanan's version of dichui, which means it applies to live animals, it applies to value, it applies to... it applies even if it never was fit to begin with, even though it started off as being disqualified.
But you use the value sometimes.
Okay, but it can't be brought as a carbon. Once disqualified, it can't be brought as a carbon, even though it now comes into a stage of being qualified. We say, look, I'm sorry, there was a period in time where you were disqualified, and once disqualified, always disqualified. That's the concept of dichui. Okay, let's go on. Amar Ula Amar Rav Yochanan. Other examples of dichui, and again, note, this is Rav Yochanan. Achal chelav yifrich carbon. So you ate chelav, you inadvertently b'shogeg, and you set aside your carbon chatas. V'himer das, and then unfortunately you had religious issues. You left the reservation, right? You're not going to shul on Shabbos, and that's just the beginning of your issues. Okay, you become a mummer. Now we know a mummer's carbon is disqualified. So here, perfect scenario of dichui, right? You were on the reservation, you ate chaylev, you set aside your carbon chatzas, and you left the reservation. So now you're a mummer, and the mummer's carbon is disqualified. Now v'chazer bo, and you do tshuva, hol v'nidche yidche. So again, so same concept. Once pushed off, always pushed off. What do you mean? You're back. You're here. All right, I'm back. That doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Right, again, Rav Yochanan's concept is once pushed off, always pushed off. Itmar Nami, Amar Rav Yirmiyah, Amar Rav Abba, Amar Rav Yochanan. Again, note. Achal chelav v'yifrish karma v'nishtateh. You go crazy. Now, the carbon of a crazy man also is disqualified. V'chazav v'nishtapa. But then, afterwards... you're right, you regain your sanity. Again, same idea. In fact, the Gemara is now bothered by the obvious question. Rav Yochanan, you're basically repeating the halakha to me using two examples. Why? The Gemara says, because look, when he leaves the reservation, when he has religious issues and leaves the reservation, that was his decision. So there I can hear the argument that that's real nidche. But in the case of going insane, that wasn't his fault. Right? The Gemara has great terminology. It's kiyashandam. It's like he went to sleep. Meaning, look, we go to sleep every night. Right? We don't. Our carbons don't become disqualified then. So here also, it could be that it was a temporary lapse of insanity. And nothing to do with him. He didn't decide to go insane. So v'iyash min nahachim isham de'ein b'yad olachzor. And on the other hand, you can make an argument the other direction. Look, in the case of insanity, when is he coming back to join the normal, right? The psychological healthy. It's not up to him. He's not going to decide. But here with the Baal Tshuva, right, the guy who religiously leaves the reservation, right? Bechira chavshei, so we have free choice. He can come back whenever he wants. So the Gemara says, Eimalo, so I might have thought that that's not as bad. That's not as much dichui. Sricha, that's why he gave both examples. More by Rav Yirmiyah, achal chelav v'hifrish karban v'chazru, sorry, v'horu based in shechelav mutar. Interesting case over here. Each chelav sets aside a karban, and then all of a sudden, based on issues of ruling. Eating chelav is permissible. Right? We spent a whole masechta talking about this. Right? So, v'chazru b'hen. Now, during that period of time, when Beis Din comes out with that ruling, so in other words, all karbanos are off. You eat chelav during that period of ruling of the Beis Din, so you are not liable. Right? Because you were toeb b'dvar Beis Din. Going back to the first Mishnah. Understood. But during that period in time, the karban now that he's looking at, it's, so to say, no karbanos. In other words, there will be a moratorium on karbanos during that horaz Beis Din. So mahu mi havidichui alo havidichui. Right, I'm with you. So amar leha hu saba. So the an elderly person said ki pasach Rabbi Yochanan b'dichuyin me pasach. You know, Rabbi Yochanan he would give shir on dichui. Obviously, this was a specialty towards him, towards Rabbi Yochanan. Obviously, he liked this topic of dichui. And when he gave shir, I was there. And when he gave shir, the first case he talked about was this very case of you set aside your karban and Beis Din came out with a hora. Now, my time up. Why did he start with that case over there? Hasam gavri idchei karban lo idchei. Hacha karban nami idchei. Right? In this particular case, you got two things working against you. Number one, meaning two things working against the karban, I should say. Number one, if you would have sinned during that period of Horaz Beis Din, you would have been off the hook. Number two, at that point in time, Beis HaMikdash takes no karban chatises in general. So it's an issue with you, and it's an issue with the karban. That's the Gemara's terminology. Hacha karban nami idche. Your karban is also pushed off. Right? It challenges you, the owner of the carbon, and the carbon itself. In the other, all the other cases that we talked about, you went crazy, you went religiously off the reservation. That's you. That's a you issue. That's not a carbon issue. So when Rav Yochanan would start shir and he would start talking about today's topic is dichui, the first case what he give was a Zaharaz Beis Din case because it affects both you and the carbon. Okay. We're now at the second half of the Mishnah.
So all this goes by Rabbi Yochanan.
This is all Rabbi Yochanan.
Nobody accepted?
I don't know. I didn't do enough homework.
It says that's for the Rambam letters.
Yeah. We are in the second half of the Mishnah. Second half of the Mishnah is a discussion about other karbanos that we want to include to the list. So remember, we had a Beis Din of 72, which is a funny number, as we talked about when we learned the Mishnah. And the Beis Din of 72 says the only two karbanos where you have Shinui Kodesh, which Shalol Lishma, and it disqualifies the animal is, let's say it again, Chatas and Pesach. And then the Gemara brought in Ben Azai, tried to throw Ola in as well, and they didn't agree. Lorait Lo Hodolo. They just simply said to Ben Azai, no, Ola doesn't make it to the cut. So Amar Rav Huna, what did I do? I skipped a little bit.
Yeah.
Sorry. Good. Amar Shema Menazai Mikuban Mipi Shivim Mishnayim Zaken. Lama Lemister Shivim Mishnayim Zaken. The Gemara is bothered by the Lashon Mishnah. Shivim Mishnayim Zaken. Should say Zakenim. Right. That's the right way to say it. So the Kula Bechadah Shitos Havakaim. So the Gemara says it was a unanimous vote. It was totally unanimous. So Zaken, right? Ki Ishachad Kalev Echad. Right. They were of one mindset. This, no, we're not adding. Lo hose ben azai ella ha'ola. I'm Rav Huna, my time de ben azai. So, we will spend now just a couple of minutes trying to understand thought process of ben azai, why he wanted to include ola. A lot of the arguments that we've already seen throughout the first parak of Zvachim, we're going to revisit those arguments again. And so, again, you'll get much more comfortable with the language and the terminology of Zvachim as we review some of these arguments. Ola hu isha reich nechoach, my time to ben azeh, ola hu isha reich nechoach l'ashem, hi l'shmak shere sholo l'shmak psula. So the Gemara says, look, it's totally offered. In other words, you can't get better than an ola, it's totally burnt. So the Gemara says, Asham namik siyed bay. I'm sorry, not yet. Ola hu isher v'nechlel lechol Hashem, hi l'shmak sher sh'loshmak psula. The key word is the word who. Right? This animal, which means that you need bedafka l'shma. If you don't have l'shma, it becomes disqualified. The Gemara says, wait a second, Asham nami, k'siv bei hu. So the Gemara says, you also have the word hu by Asham as well. Ha'hu l'achar ha'ktar simurim, hu dichsiv. So the Gemara says, yeah, but if you look at the placement of the word hu by the carbon Asham, that's by the burning of the fats and internal organs of the Asham, not essential avodas of the carbon Asham. Ha'inami l'achar ha'ktar simurim, hu dichsiv. So the Gemara says, well, same thing is true by the Ola. Meaning by the ol, it says the word who, by the burning of the animal, that's not an avoda, that's not essential avoda. Trehuksivi. So the Gemara continues to argue. By the word ola, it says who twice. Gabi asham nami trehuksivi. Same thing is true by the asham as well. Ela. So the Gemara says, okay. Napsukim kavachomer. Alright, so here we go. Our classic arguments that we've seen before. An ola is totally burnt. If a chatas, which is not totally burnt, is subject to this requirement of lishma, and failure to do so would result in disqualification, same thing is true with the ola, which is totally burnt. The Gemara says, what a comparison. Malachatas shekein mechaperes. Hibra chatas provides a kapara, ola does not provide a kapara. Pesach Yochiach. The Gemara says, okay, let's turn to the other example, which is Karban Pesach. Pesach is not a kapara, and yet failure of lishma results in disqualification. Mala Pesach shekein zman kavua. I can't compare an ola to a Pesach. Pesach has a set time. Chatas tochiach v'chazar adin. So look, we can't, each one of them by themselves can't work. Let's use common denominator. Lo rizek rizeh, v'lo rizek rizeh. Hatzara shavah shebehem shein kashim v'shachtun sholosh man pasol. Af ani avi ola shi kashim v'shachtun sholosh man psula. So let's use a mahatzad, the common denominator between the two. Ma la'atzad shavah shebehem sheish behem tzad kareis. The Gemara says, and again, the Gemara made this argument earlier. This is review. They're both kareis. Chatzis is kareis. Pesach is kares. And the Gemara says, what's Ben Azeh going to do to that? Ben Azeh tzad kares lo parech. The Gemara says, he doesn't care. Meaning, that doesn't bother him. Rashi explains, why not? Rashi says, because there are different types of kares. Chatas comes as a result of you violating a kares. Pesach comes, I'm sorry, failure to bring the Pesach results in kares. So it's kares at two different ends of the karban. One is the response to a karis, the other one is, if you don't do it, it results in a karis. It's not the same karis. Hashem nami laisi. The Gemara says, okay, use your mehatzad, right, that you brilliantly argued, and bring the karban Hashem in as well. So the Gemara says, mal atzad ha-sheva shebem shekein yesh namit sibur ki biyachid. So the Gemara says, well, I'll tell you why Ben Azai won't extend it to an Hashem. Because, and listen carefully, chatzas and pesach and ola, or communal offerings. Now Rashi points out the Karban Pesach, right? I understand Chatas can come communal. I understand Ola can come communal. Pesach is communal? Rashi says, yes it is. Rashi says, it's true that individuals bring the Karban Pesach, but every individual brings the Karban Pesach. And therefore, Pesach is a hybrid. It's an individual Karban, but because everyone does so, it's also called Karban Sibur as well. Finishing up to the Mishnah. Ibai Seimatzai Karis Nami Parech. So the Gemara says, look, your question about kareis is a good question. Disrupts the mehatzad. U'benazai gemar gamirla. And Benazai just simply has a tradition. I'm going to use the words halacha moshe mesinai. I'm a little reluctant to do so, but I'm going to use that terminology because, right, that's why he adds ola. How to come out Rav Huna Kavachomer? Rav Huna spent a lot of time going through the Kavachomer that we just went through. Lo Amar El Lachade Bo Tamidav. Rav Huna sharpens the students. So in other words, let's make Kavachomer arguments, right? And he wants to see he's training his students how to make these Kavachomer arguments. Over here, it was an aborted Kavachomer, right? But still. Or not aborted, I shouldn't say that. An unnecessary kavachomer, because you have the halakha Moshe Mesinai, but still, Ben Azai, the Rav Huna is training his students, you need to know, if you're going to learn Gemara, how to make kavachomers. And that's why he went through a kavachomer that was really unnecessary. Okay. Obviously, when the day is over, Ola is not included in the list, and it's only Chatos and Pesach where a Shinui Kodesh results in a disqualification. Period.